Corinthians chapter number 5. Thank you for the testimonies this morning. Honestly, it adds so much when the redeemed are willing to say so. And for those of you who may not know, and we don't have our posters up to decorate quite yet, our theme for 2018 is building through relationships. And when I say building through relationships, we're talking about building some things and using relationships to do that. But before you can build through relationships, you have to build the relationship itself. And my heart is just so full about things that I want to say to you here on these Sunday mornings. And it's especially full, I think, because I haven't been preaching on Sunday nights. These other preachers have been preaching. And I'm looking forward to getting back in the pulpit in a couple weeks on Sunday nights. But this morning, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm going to read several verses here. And really, I'm just going to use these verses to talk about a single thing and then talk to you about that just one topic. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we're going to begin in verse number 17. This is a familiar verse. Many of you know part of this verse at least. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now notice that phrase, in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a great verse. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now let me sum up what he just said. He said that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus did on the cross, was he reconciled us back to God. It used to be that you used to take a bank statement. I don't know if anybody still does this. You used to have a checkbook and a bank statement. And when you got your bank statement, the bank was known as the authority in the matter, and you and your checkbook might have made some mistakes. So you would take what the bank said, and you would try to reconcile your checkbook, try to make them come together. Does anyone here this morning still do that? I'm going to bet there's a, okay, there we go, a few of you. Most of you of a certain age are older. And so we just had a unit in our homeschooling that was supposed to teach balancing a checkbook. And you may think that she's terrible, but Rebecca said, boys, we're just going to skip that. And so we skipped over balancing a checkbook. But that was called reconciliation, where you take what you did and you take the authority and you reconcile and make them agree. Now, I don't know if you're getting the spiritual picture, but it's pretty obvious. Jesus Christ is the authority. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's right. You may not think he's right. Have you ever challenged the bank on something about your statement and eventually then explain it and you go, okay, yeah, you're right, all right? Sometimes we even challenge God on things. Lord, I don't think that that's exactly right. I don't think that's exactly true. He's always, hear me, he's always right. He's always right. And what we've got to do is take our statement, which is sinful, and reconcile it with his. And the only way we can do that is by getting in agreement with God. God, I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve hell. I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life. Forgive me and save me. And that is what we call reconciliation. He brings us back, the Bible says, to himself. We looked at this last week in Exodus 19. After Israel had come all the way out of Egypt, and they'd even fought their first battle, and they got to Mount Sinai, this is what God said to Moses. You see how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. He said, I didn't bring you to Mount Sinai. I'm not bringing you to the promised land. He said, the real goal, hear me this morning, the real goal is for God to bring us to himself. It's a relationship with him. Now, I want you to know that I don't hate the word religion. Some people really hate the word religion, that they don't like the idea of religion. I think religion, the Bible uses the word religion in a good way. The Bible says pure religion and undefiled is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow. And so I don't think religion in and of itself is bad. But our faith is not about a set of rules and regulations. Our faith is about a relationship with God. And that relationship is accomplished only through Jesus Christ. And so when he over and over again is saying, look, he said it twice already. It says in 17 that we're in Christ. And then it says in verse 18, he hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And then he says it again in verse 19, in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And then he says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, we've been given the ministry of helping others come to God also by bringing them the gospel. And so having said all that, look at verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now this is interesting because he said, be reconciled to God, but he's talking to Christians. Now, Christians, in your salvation, hear me this morning. If you're here this morning and you are saved, you have been reconciled in your relationship to God. You, as a standing in heaven, if you are saved, you are a son or you are a daughter of God, period. You belong to Him. He's your God and He's your Father. But the truth of the matter is, even in our Christian lives, our relationship with God is sometimes good, and our relationship with God is sometimes bad. Let's talk about your children. Are they always your children? Yes, they are. Is your relationship with your children always good? If it is, tell me. I want to come to your house and observe, okay? I want to know what that is like, all right? I've got four kids. We don't sit and quarrel and fight all day. But it's my job as a dad to discipline them. It's my job as a dad to teach them. And it's my job to say things to them and to try and help them along the path. Last night we were sitting at the dinner table. I have to share this. I'll try not to share too many names, although I only have four children. I'm sitting at the table and my children had this thing where they talk to each other. Now, if you were sitting there, none of it would make any sense. And I know that because I'm sitting there and it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't mean they're using some sort of cultural or video game language that I don't get. No, no, no. I actually know more about that stuff than they do. But sitting there listening to them talk, I actually put my head, we had just finished dinner, I put my head in my hands, and I said, "You guys kill me." And they said, "What?" And I said, "You guys sit and talk." And it is just the stupidest things. You never make sense. They do this thing where they go back and forth like they're making fun of each other, but it never makes any sense. Somebody says something and they're like, "Oh, you got burned." And it's like, no, that was dumb. That made no sense at all. That's not a burn. And I can't help them understand this. I can't help them. There are times when I look at my children and think, God has blessed me so much. I'm so grateful. Look at what they can do. And look how good God has been in helping them do this. And there are times I think we could do with one less. Maybe two less. And of course, I'm joking. But the truth of the matter is, our relationship doesn't change. They're always my children. But there's times our relationship is good, and there's times our relationship is not so good. You as a saved person have a standing with God. You are His child, and thank God for it. But our relationship is not always good. This morning I want to preach to you on building your relationship with God in Christ. I'm going to say things that I have said 10 million times. I'm going to say them over again. And I'll give you two reasons why. Number one, this is the message I believe the Lord's given me to preach this morning. And number two, because I have realized that in 10.5 years in preaching, I have a tendency not to repeat myself. And it is actually helpful for me to say some things more than once. And so I want to try to be a help to you this morning. I'm going to give you three things this morning. I think two will not catch you off guard. They'll be very standard things. But I'm going to try and say them in a way that'll be especially helpful. And then the last thing I'll give you, I think maybe even more applicable to your life or more practical, maybe you haven't heard it as much before. Building your relationship with God in Christ. Number one, if you're going to build a relationship with God, you need to study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Now, I don't have time to unpack all the scriptures, although there are multitudes. I mean, there are hundreds of scriptures that we could turn to. The most obvious one, we know 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so the Bible clearly says that if we, as servants of God and as ministers of His, not just pastors, but every Christian, if we are going to be standing before God one day and we are going to have a good accountability instead of a bad accountability, and if we want our relationship to be good, we need to study the Word of God. Now, I want you to know that studying the Word of God is different than reading the Word of God, but you can never study if you're not reading. And so reading is a great bridge to get you into studying the Word of God. Now, I know a lot of people who say, "Preacher, the Bible's difficult to understand, it's difficult to read, and it's difficult to study." I want you to know there is not one human being, there's not one human being that did not feel that way when they started. Not one of us. There's not one of us that studies the Word of God that when we first got into it went, "This is easy." No, when you begin, it's tough. Listen, do you want to know what the Word of God is? This is the eternal mind of a holy and infinite God. For you to expect to pick it up and get it is a little bit prideful. This is God. This is God talking to man. Can you imagine how much He had to condescend just to even get it on our level at all? The King James Bible, they say, is written on about a 10th grade reading level. Some have said there's about a 5th grade reading level. I think that changes sometimes with the age and with some of the language. But the truth of the matter is, you can understand it, but it's a matter of studying it. Nobody ever picks up mathematics and understands it immediately. There are some of us who are never going to get it. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God is the infinite mind of a holy God, and the first time you pick it up, it's not all going to make sense. You're going to have to study it, and you're going to have to read it, and you're going to have to understand it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4 that knowledge is necessary for salvation. Did you know you can't even get saved without the Word of God? You can't get saved without the Word of God. Now you go, well, now, preacher, it's the gospel that has power. What gospel? If you don't have a Bible, you don't have a gospel. Listen, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in what your grandma told you? Can I go ahead and tip you off? She might have been a little bit crazy. Anybody? A couple of you laugh. Some of you are like, don't talk about my grandma. Listen, truth of the matter is, sometimes they say stuff that is absolutely not true. How many of you, your grandparents, maybe your grandma specifically, had some really weird superstitions? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, just some strange things, you know? They said, well, you don't ever want to cross a black cat with a broken mirror under a ladder on a Thursday afternoon if the sky's cloudy. And you're like, what? Why would that ever even happen anyway? And so the truth of the matter is, sometimes we just get caught up in superstitions, and the superstitions come, they're passed down from generation to generation. You and I have a more sure word of prophecy. You and I don't have to rely on what somebody told us. We can study it for ourselves. And the Bible tells us how to be saved. Grandma or grandpa can tell you this. Mom and dad can tell you this. Cousins, brothers, aunts, and uncles may have their own philosophies, but God's word never changes. And that is why we study it. When you study the Word of God, hear me, when you study the Word of God, you are studying the God of the Word. When you are learning this book, you are not just learning words on a page, you are learning about a person. And let me tell you that I believe the greatest journey in the world is to learn about God. Can I tell you why? Study your spouse for a while. And by the way, you should. If you're married, you ought to know your spouse inside and out. You ought to study them. The Bible says that even to us men in 1 Peter chapter number 3. It says that we ought to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. We ought to learn about our wives. Study them. Learn them. And a lot of men say, preacher, you just can't understand women. You don't have to understand women. You have to understand one woman. Just one. And you say, well, preacher, she's different. That's right, Bubba, and so are you, okay? And so we're all different, and we have to learn one another in marriage. We have to study one another. But here is the truth. You're going to find out things about your spouse that you may not like. By the way, your spouse is going to find out some things about you that they may not like. Can I tell you something? Not just based on the authority of the years of my life that I have lived, which have truly been few, may I tell you that based on the authority of God's word, hear me, you'll never learn anything about God you don't like. Never. And let me tell you, that's challenging because if you go read the Old Testament, you're going to find that there were wars and there were battles and there were a lot of people who have a lot of questions about God. The deeper you study, the more sense it makes. And the more you learn, the more you'll grow. And you'll never, ever learn anything that turns you away from God. It'll never happen. You'll only learn things about God that draw you to Him. That happens when you study the Word of God. Listen to what the Bible says in Colossians 3:10. We have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. The only way we can become the Christian we ought to be is to know what that Christian is supposed to look like and act like, and we learn that from the Word of God. Let me say this real quickly. You cannot know God apart from the Word of God. Can I confess something to you, something that upsets a lot of people that when I talk to them, I do sometimes have people, I try to be very gracious. I don't want you to think that I'm harsh or unkind. But there are many times when a preacher comes to me, let me share it with you this way. When you're out in public and somebody finds out you're a preacher, okay, you only find out usually one of three things. If someone finds out you're a preacher, number one, there are some people who don't want to talk to you. Okay? Number two, when someone finds out you're a preacher, you also find out who in their family is a preacher. It's the truth. You say, oh, I'm the pastor over at Fairview Baptist Temple. Oh, you preach over there? Yeah, that's where I preach at. And then they say, my brother is a preacher. My uncle's a preacher. Find out who their preacher is. Or, if they don't have a preacher in the family, here's the third thing that happens when they find out you're a preacher. They want to tell you about their experience with an angel. Some of those are really neat stories, although not totally believable. And some of them are crazy. They're crazy. Can I be honest with you about something? And maybe you're going to think I'm judgmental or unkind, and I hope you won't think that. But there are times people tell me a story, and I just think to myself, that's not true. That's not true. You say, preacher, how do you know it's not true? I'm going to tell you how. I want you to get upset, but here's how. Because when you study the Word of God, you learn how God works. And when people tell you something crazy that you know God has never done and never said he would do, you say, well, can't God communicate with people any way he wants? You know what? Absolutely he can, but he will not contradict or step outside of his word. So when somebody says, well, and I won't get into details because I can repeat things that have been said to me even recently. Well, God told me he doesn't want me to do this. He just wants me to do this. God doesn't contradict his word. Well, God sent an angel and told me this. Well, God doesn't contradict his word. And so the truth of the matter is the word of God is how we get to know God. Hear what the Bible says, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The only way you're going to know God and grow in God and have a better relationship with him is to know the word of God. It is the Jesus himself said. Jesus himself said to the devil, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but hear this, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How can we live by every word of God if we don't know the word of God? We must know the word of God. Revelation 20, verse number 12 says this, that there are a series of books that are opened in heaven on judgment day. A series of books. We don't even know all the books. I have an idea about what I think some of the books are. We know the book of life is one. The book of life is the one. If your name is recorded there, that means you've trusted in Christ. It means you get access to heaven. That's a good book. There's other books that are opened that day, and I believe one of them is the Bible. May I say to you that if the final test depends on what's in this book, you might want to study up. You might want to study up. If the final exam is based off of what God said, you need to know what God said. And so having said that, number one, to build your relationship with God, study the Word of God. Number two, this is my favorite things to talk about, and I mean that. I'm trying to make this as encouraging a message as I can. Study the Word of God. Number two, supplication. Supplication. It just simply means prayer. Now, if you've got a Bible, I'd like for you to go with me to Philippians chapter number 4. I haven't asked you to turn to many scriptures, but I want you to see this one, if you will. Philippians chapter number 4. You might be sitting on your hands or have your hands in your pocket. My hands are cold up here preaching this morning, I want you to know, because they're always out here doing this, and it's cold out there, okay? Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, there you go, warm them up. Philippians 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means to take a special thought. It also means anxiety. Literally, you can stick the word anxiety in there, and you're not hurting the integrity of what God is saying. He says, be careful, be cautious, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Notice what he says. He says, be anxious or careful, think too hard about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He says two things here that are helpful concerning prayer. But I want you to get this. There's two different things he says about prayer here. First off, he says this, but in everything by prayer. That word prayer simply is another word for dialogue. It just means... And I know a lot of people have said to me, preacher, I would pray, but I don't know how to pray. Listen, you know how to talk. And if you know how to talk, that's all that prayer is. It's just talking with God. Now, I want you to know that it requires faith. Because I'll admit to you that it is weird to get on your knees in a dark room with no one else there and to talk into the air. That is not a natural act. It requires faith that God hears and answers prayer. And may I tell you that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. It's not a natural act to get down on your knees with nobody else around and to talk out into the air. It doesn't make any sense. It's an act of faith. And that's all it is, by the way, it's just talking with God. That's all that prayer is. You say, preacher, I don't really know how to pray. If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. You're just talking with God. And so understand, when we have a conversation with God, we are talking with him, that is prayer. By the way, it would be good to put it this way. When you study the word of God, that's giving God a chance to talk to you. Praying is you talking back to God. You know what that's called? That's called a relationship. That's called communication. God's talking to me, I'm talking to God. That is how we build a relationship. How did you build a relationship with the person that you ended up marrying? How did you build that relationship? Communication. You talked. You learned about each other. Guess what you do to build your relationship with God? Talk. Learn about each other. Learn about each other. And so, understand, supplication. First off, he uses this word prayer. I want to give you a couple things. This is interesting. That word prayer just simply means talking. The root word of prayer comes from the word for worship. That is why he mentions in the middle of this verse two little words, actually kind of two big words, but with thanksgiving. Because this verse is talking about a certain kind of prayer, but it says don't forget that prayer is worship, talking with God. The other word that he uses for prayer here is this word supplication, and that is attached to the word requests. This is a different kind of prayer. This is what we call entreaty. This is asking God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have things that you need from God? Do you have things that you need from God? Now, notice the context of this verse. Be careful for nothing. Do you want to know what being careful means? It means being anxious. Do you know where anxiety comes from? Trying to control something you can't control. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, real nice and loud. I mean, if you've dealt with anxiety, you know what I'm talking about. I can't control it, but man, I wish I could. In fact, anxiety is I can't control it, but man, I'm trying. It's literally outside of your control. It's physically impossible for you to control it. Listen, think about your relationship with other people. Can you control other people? Do you try? Yeah, we try. We try to control our kids. We try to control our spouse. We try to control the preacher. We try and control people at church. We try and control people in our family. We're trying to control everything. And when we can't keep a hold and all the bands are falling out of our hand and everything seems to be falling apart, anxiety sets in. We can't take care of our health. We can't control what happens to us sometimes and what doesn't. And that's where anxiety comes from. You say, preacher, what do? Life is out of control. I can't handle it. You pray. That's what you do. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't let anxiety get the best of you. You can give these things to God. That's what prayer is. God, I can't handle it. You're going to have to handle it. And guess what? He can handle it. He can handle it. It may be out of your hands. It's never out of God's hands. And that's what supplication is. It's simply entreating. Anxiety, we're trying to control it. It can't be done. James chapter 1 verses 5 through 7 says that if we go to God and we ask for wisdom, he will not upbraid us. Do you know what upbraiding means? I know when you hear that term, you think of like a braid in a girl's hair, right? That's what I think of when I think of upbraid. It's an upbraid, okay? But that's not what upbraid means. The word upbraid means to scold. You know what that means? It means when we go to God and we ask him for something, and we're totally desperate, he won't scold us. He likes it. Ladies, can I ask you a question? You ever been really upset about something and talk to your husband and then realize that was a mistake? Because everything's just kind of crazy and you're like, I just need somebody to talk to. And you talk to your husband and you think, well, that bozo wasn't going to help. In fact, he's like, what are you mad at me for? And you're like, I'm not mad at you. And now everybody's mad at everybody. You're just trying to talk. Can I tell you, when you go to God and you say to God, God, I can't handle it. God, I can't do anything about it. God, I'm helpless and hopeless and desperate. He says, I can help you. I can help you. He doesn't say, boy, you better calm down. Listen, don't talk to me that way. He doesn't say, you must not understand who I am. He says, yes, you've come into the throne room. This is a throne of grace. This is the mercy seat. Let's talk about it. He doesn't scold us for coming in and needing his help. I'll tell you something. I hate to ask for help. I hate to ask for help. My wife works tirelessly in and outside of our home. Schooling the children, teaching piano, keeping up with things around the house. She does an incredible amount of work, and I mean that. I'm not just saying that because she's saying it's the truth. I hate asking her to do anything. There are some nights where I'll just say, honey, can you put the kids to bed tonight? That's something that I usually do. Honey, can you do this tonight? Just because I am exhausted or I am worn out, but I hate asking for help. I hate it. I hate approaching people and asking to borrow something. And by the way, here at church, sometimes that hurts us because I don't like asking people for help. That's why you hear me make announcements and say, we need a teacher, but I don't really ever go and talk to somebody about it, and maybe I should. I do have an idea about who I think would do a good job at things, but I don't like asking for help. I don't like to inconvenience people, and that's the truth. You may think that it's pride. Well, I ain't asking them, they're going to have to come to me. That's not how I feel. I don't like to inconvenience people. I don't like to saddle people with responsibilities if they don't want them. But can I tell you something? God is the one person we can go to. We're never inconveniencing him. And when we saddle him with all of our problems, I want you to understand, that's exactly what he asks us to do. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus literally cries out, give it to me. Give it to me. That is supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, Jesus taught a parable, and the point of that parable was this: men ought always to pray. Third thing this morning, we're going to be done. Take your Bibles, please. Last time I'll ask you to go anywhere, go to John chapter number 14. Please, please, please. John chapter 14. Number one, study the Word of God to build your relationship with God. Number two, supplication. Supplicate to Him. Talk with Him in prayer. Number three, this is the one that may be a little bit different than what you might expect. I don't think that you are surprised by hearing the idea of studying the Word of God or praying. But number three, if you want to build your relationship with God in Christ, number three is submission. Submit to Him. Can I give you another word for this that may make a little bit more sense? Obey Him. Whatever you have learned about Him and His expectations, put it into practice. You say, now, wait a second, preacher. How does me submitting to God build our relationship? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Bible teaches wives to submit to their husbands. And some of you have heard me use this illustration before. Many years ago, when I would come in, well, we were living here, when I would come into the house, I come in through the side door. And when I come in through the side door, we have a laundry room, which a laundry room is easy to become the catch-all, right? It's the laundry room, so you toss everything in there. So we have the laundry room, and it's right when I came in the door. Well, it would always put me in a foul mood because I was tired. And when I come in the side door, I couldn't even get in the house because it was a catch-all. Laundry in there, the cat box is in there, the washer and dryer is in there, we've got a deep freeze in there. And so I would open up the side door only opens up so far. I'm kind of a big guy, you might not have noticed. And so for me to get in the door, it looks like the Pink Panther, okay? I'm getting in, and then I've got to step over a laundry basket. And I said to my wife, I said, Rebecca, would you please prioritize cleaning and organizing the laundry room? I said, because I'll be honest with you, by the time I get through the laundry room, I'm exhausted by the time I even get to the kitchen. I said, could you do me a favor? And I believe that in the sweet spirit of submission, a room that should be something we can just junk up because it mattered to me. I don't remember hardly ever coming home after that day and the laundry room ever being dirty, ever. I mean, maybe a couple of times there was something left in there, but she always made sure that room was clean. Number one, I think it was important to her that I got home in a good mood, okay? But secondly, it was something I specifically had asked her to do and she did it. Can I tell you that as silly of a thing as the laundry room being clean improves our relationship? Because when something silly like that takes place, I know that she's listening and I know she hears and I know she cares. And I'm in a good mood because not only do I walk through the laundry room and I don't have to fight over all the clothes and fight over the cat box, I get to walk through that laundry room and this may sound silly, but I can go, my wife loves me. It built our relationship. And I pray that there have been things, the Bible says, to mutually submit to one another. I pray there are things she's asked of me that I have done. And those things build your relationship. It is the same with God. You say, well, God knows we can never be completely obedient, and God doesn't expect. Look at the Bible says. Look in John chapter 14. Look at verse 15. If ye love me, what did he say? Keep my commandments. He literally, this is astounding because we like to look at God and say, well, we don't have to work for salvation. We don't have to. Well, that's true. But here's the point. He still expects obedience. In fact, he equates obedience with what? Love. Love. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is a relationship. And he expects us as his children to be obedient. He's not done. I want you to look at this. This is great. Look down in that same passage. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments, they're studying, and keepeth them, their submission or obedience, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Do you hear that? Do you know what that means? When we submit and we obey God, we are building our relationship with him. Look what he goes on to say in verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, this is a different Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Here's what he's saying. All right, here's the world over here. The world is never going to obey God. They're not saved. They don't know God. They're going to do sin. They're not going to obey God. Now, over here's Christians. And here we are as Christians. We know the Word of God. We are going to submit and obey the Word of God. So Judas asked this. Okay, how are you going to manifest yourself to us? How is that different than you manifesting yourself to the world? He said, what is it that you're saying you're going to give to us that you're not giving to everybody else? Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He's going to abide with us. You know what that's called? It's It's called fellowship. It's called a relationship. Can I tell you something honestly? You will never know God on a deep level until you learn to obey Him. You will never know God on a deep level until you learn to obey Him. In fact, let me say this. There are some things you will never learn until you've learned obedience. Obedience is the best way to get to know God. In Malachi chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, but let me just tell you a quick story. Malachi chapter number 3, God chastises Israel for one thing very particularly, and some of you know what it is in Malachi 3. He says, "You've robbed me." And the Israelites said, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" And he said, "In tithes and offerings." In tithes and offerings. He said, "You have not been giving me the money that is due to me." That's what God said. "You've robbed me in tithes and offerings." Now, when the preacher preaches that way, we get mad. And guess what? When God preached that way, Israel got mad. "How have we robbed thee?" And he said, "In tithes and offerings." But I want you to listen to what God said next. After he chastised them for disobedience, listen to what he said. He said, "Prove me now herewith. Prove me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing that you won't even be able to store." He uses the word "prove me." You know what that word "prove" means? Test me. Do you want to know how you test God? By obeying Him. Can I tell you, God's going to ask some things of you that are hard things. I have told you, if you're going to build a relationship with God, you're going to have to study and you're going to have to supplicate. Guess what? That's going to require the sacrifice of some time. Anybody around here just got tons of time, just don't know what to do with yourself? Anybody? Just got all this time on your hands? Oh my word, no. I don't think any of us, from the person in this sanctuary who lives alone in their own home to the person who is parenting their own children and maybe even fostering others, there is none of us that just have a ton of time on our hands. And yet God says, "You're going to have to study my word and you're going to have to supplicate." Church, who's got time for church? Oh my goodness, we don't have time for all this. This is crazy. God's going to ask some hard things of you. 10% of my money? What in the world? It's tight as it is. Anybody just got so much money you just don't know what to do with it? Anybody? You're just like, "Oh, 10%, it's fine." No, none of us. God is going to ask some hard things. You want to know what it is? At the end of the day, it's a test of our love. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And then he said this, "And if you will obey my commandments," he said, "wait until you see what kind of relationship we have." Do you want to know what relationships are built on? Trust. They're built on trust. Can I tell you something about God? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. When He says to do something, you can trust Him. You should do it. When He says to go somewhere, when He says to give something, when He says to do a certain thing with your time, you can trust Him. Can I tell you something? I haven't lived a long life, but in 35 years, God has never failed me, and He will never fail you. There are some of you in this room, literally twice my age, who, if it were your day to stand in this pulpit, you could say the same thing. It's been 70 years, and God has not failed me. I want you to know I sat yesterday and talked with Linda and Leonard, and Leonard's got surgery this coming Wednesday. And I will tell you, it almost never fails that when I talk about just how much good, a lot of us, including Leonard himself, never thought that Leonard would see last Christmas. And Leonard's seen two. Leonard just turned 75 last week. The truth of the matter is, as I sit and talk with Leonard and tell him, "Listen, God's been good to you," tears well up in that man's eyes and he says, "He sure has. Well, He sure has." I don't care if you live 80, 85, 90 years, I am telling you, you can trust the Lord. He's going to ask you to do some things that don't make any sense. He's going to ask you to do some things and you go, "Oh brother, here we go again. I thought I was far enough out in faith." And He says, "No, launch out a little bit deeper. You're in a little rowboat in the middle of the ocean. You figure it's over." You can always trust the Lord. To build a relationship with Him, you're going to have to study the Word of God. You're going to have to learn how to pray. You're going to have to learn how to supplicate and talk with God. These are going to have to become normal parts of everyday life. And then you're going to have to learn submission. I'm asking you a question, two questions. Number one, do you have a relationship with God in Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you're going to know God at all, you have to know Him through Jesus Christ in salvation. You repent of your sins. "God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me." Do you have a relationship with God? Secondly, very simply, are you building that relationship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it's cold in here, but it warms our hearts. And I pray that when we leave, we will be encouraged about the fact that we can trust our great God. And I pray it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, please, I'm going to be quick. I'm going to speak quickly. So hear quickly, please. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask two questions, the same I just asked. And I want you to respond to the Lord. Number one, let me ask you a question. Are you here this morning? You say, preacher, I have a relationship with God, but I need to be building that relationship. Has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Will you raise a hand in testimony to that and say, God spoke to me today, encouraged my heart that he wants to walk with me and talk with me. Thank you. You can put your hands down. That's you. I really didn't even look. That's you between you and the Lord saying, Lord, I want to build my relationship with you. I want to know more about you. I'm going to ask a second question, and I'll ask it quickly. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I do not have a relationship with God. I've never put my faith in Christ, and I've never been saved. Please pray for me. I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. I just want to know who you are so that I can help you in any way I can and pray for you in my private time. You say, preacher, please pray for me. I am not saved. Would you slip your hand up just so I can know who you are? Will not call you out. Will not embarrass you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts the need for repentance and salvation, and then, Lord, help us to be coming back into your glorious, merciful, gracious throne room day after day, learning and communing with thee. God, help us to build our relationship in 2018. God, even having a relationship with you is just miraculous. Help us to build it. And I prayed in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, stand to your feet, please, if you will. Rebecca's going to play on the piano. This is an opportunity to come and pray. You can come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to work on my supplication. Lord, I want to work on my study. Lord, I want to work on my submission. There's areas that I think you're asking me to be obedient, and I'm asking you to help me trust you. You know, one of God's favorite prayers is, God, increase my faith. God, teach me more about yourself. Increase my faith. That's what he wants. Oh, you say, preacher, there's some things that are just so hard. I can't imagine God asking me to do it, but he'll help you do it. Yes, he'll help you do it. Study, supplication, submission. Just be obedient. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. It's a hard song to sing. I wonder if you can sing it honestly, because it says, I surrender all. I surrender all. Obedience is a test of our love. She's playing it even now. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. Song goes on to say, I love thee for wearing the crown of thorns upon your brow. If ever I loved thee, O Lord Jesus, it is now.